Good morning. First off, a big thank you to Pastor Jesse for inviting my wife and I to the pastor's conference this year. I don't know if he knew it, but I needed to go. I had been struggling with some stuff, and at first I didn't want to go because I wasn't really into being around people. But my wife kept giving me subtle hints that, hey, maybe we should go to this. And I did eventually realize that, yeah, we kind of don't get away very often by ourselves. And maybe we should go. And I did feel that it was very beneficial. So I agreed to go. And what a blessing it was to get to spend a good amount of alone time with my wife, but also being poured into by others that were there. I didn't thoroughly enjoy the speaker. And I wanted to share some things that I got out of it. One of the first things that he talked about is if you had a heavy breakfast or you didn't get enough sleep last night, it's okay. You can go to sleep. You won't hurt my feelings. Just close your eyes. No need of having any head bobbing to distract. I'm sure some of what I say today will sink in. But I think the first night was extremely powerful to me. What he spoke on really struck a chord with me and where I was at. Let me share it with you. He focused on three D words. They may seem the same, but they aren't. Disappointment, discouragement, and depression. Disappointment is the least of these, and kind of easier to get over. He explained that it's just something that didn't work out for us, something that we had planned didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. It didn't go our way. But there's still hope. Depression, on the other hand, there is no hope. We don't see an out. No way to get out of our circumstances. Discouragement kind of sits in the middle. You're without courage. You're weakened. He focused mainly on this for the night, and I'm so glad he did, because I thought where I was, I really wasn't. I still had hope. He explained there were five areas to help with discouragement. The first one was to decide to choose truth. Truth about your situation. What's going on? Does it line up with God's word? Am I doing what God has instructed? Number two, choose joy. This one affected most of us at our table. Find joy in God's promises, not in the circumstances. No one can take away my destiny. No one can take away the promise of salvation, no matter how bad the circumstance is. It's hard to find joy in the storm if you're focused on the storm. Set your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Number three, choose faith. What is our faith? Our faith is God confidence. How much do we allow God to control the things around us? Give your worries to Him and live by faith. Have that confidence that God is going to do what is right for you. In Luke 8, I'm going to paraphrase because I didn't want to read the whole thing, but it said the story of a woman who was bleeding for years, spent everything she had, her livelihood, on doctors to help cure her, but it never happened. One day, Jesus was walking through town, and she saw him and said, if I touch his robe, I would be healed. So out of desperation, she did reach out and touch the corner of his garment, and immediately she was healed. And Jesus was like, "Who touched me?" And his disciples were, "Master, there are a lot of people here. We're like elbow to elbow around you, and you're asking who touched you?" And Jesus was like, "Someone touched me, and I felt power leave me." The woman felt called out, fell to her feet, and said, "It was me. As soon as I touched your garment, I was immediately healed." Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Her faith in Jesus, her confidence that he had the power to heal her. We need that faith. The faith that God can pull us through anything, whatever we are going through. Number four, choose community. Don't go it alone. This is a struggle for me, as many I'm sure it is for you. I can figure it out on my own. I don't want to show an image of weakness. We get too independent. We need to start reaching out to others for help. We are the body of Christ. God didn't call for each of us to be our own church. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. None of us, and I like this one that he said, are the fourth member of the Trinity. Don't be ashamed of how you will look by humbling yourself and asking for help. I know we don't want to mess up our image of being strong and independent. And the last one is choose service. You got to sow even when the ground is dry. Got to keep at it. Serve others even though you don't feel like it. That's what Luke said last week. If you set your mind on serving others, your problems and storms seem to work themselves out. Okay, now we get to today's message. You thought it was done. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the words that you have given me to share. Lord, I ask that you fill my mouth with your words so that they will understand what you want them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been pondering about this message for a while. It all came about when someone I was pouring into all of a sudden shut off communication and said they needed time. No other explanation. I was taken back by this because we were like pretty good friends, sharing with each other about life experiences and situations. I was there to be an outlet for them to unload on and offer my take on things. But something changed. What was this time that was needed? Maybe they thought the things they were going through they needed time for, and then I couldn't help them. My first thought was, if we stop communicating, if we stop talking to one another, our friendship would end. And sure enough, it did. It bothered me for some time, so I didn't feel I did anything wrong. I was discouraged for sure, which is why the retreat was so beneficial. It got me thinking, did I waste my time pouring into this person, pouring into their life? Also, how much time do I have left? I'm not sure if the time I took with this person was beneficial or not, but I got to leave it up to God. I feel I did what I was supposed to do, and that was reach out, lift up, and encourage. Now I leave it to God for the results. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, can we view time differently? I mean, we all get the same amount of time during the day, but if I were to ask someone like Micah, how long would it take you to get a beard like mine? He might say eternity. But can anyone make up time? Can anybody create time? I know for those of us that drive truck, we have the ability to create time. A few years back before the electronic logs, we had to account for our time for driving. We had to use a logbook. And say I needed 3 hours to get to my destination, but I only had 2 left for driving. Well, I could just change in my book that I got there a little bit earlier, or I left a little later from my last stop. But you just have to watch out for DOT because they can see how many miles you went and the amount of time that it took you and say, hey, you were speeding. Did you know you can go from one toll booth to another? And the amount of time it takes you, they can tell if you're speeding. I think we're the only ones that can make up time. No, wait. There is one more set of individuals that can make time. Procrastinators. Because they always have tomorrow, don't they? But we're not always guaranteed tomorrow, are we? Has anybody had a timeout? I'm thinking not even half of the people growing up had timeouts. We got the leather strap that Dad had to pull off of his waist. I didn't get it very often, but I don't feel there was any love when it happened. It just seemed like he was taking out his anger on me. But I remember one situation. We had a oil furnace in the basement, and it had a little window that you can look to see the flame. My brother is 2 years older than me, so he was in charge of me and my sister. And we decided, hey, there's fire. Let's throw some wood on the fire. So he took scraps of wood and threw it in the oil furnace. And my father found out, and he took it out on my brother because he was in charge. And I can remember sitting on the stairs listening And I wept for him because I knew, hey, I did it too. Why is it not being taken out on me? So would you rather get beat up by the storm or take a time out with God and find out what he's doing in that storm? And what is our end game as Christians? To be like Jesus, right? And to be with him. Something has confused me for a while now. And that is, if the ultimate goal is to be with Jesus, why do we do everything to stay away from him? We exercise, we diet, we take pills, all to stay alive and to extend our life. Is it that we aren't ready? I remember sitting in the ER with my mom recently. And one of the doctors asked her, if something goes wrong and we need to do some treatment on you to keep you alive, do you want that? My mom just sat there and stared. And I didn't know where she was, if she was ready to go, if she felt it was her time. And I didn't want to speak for her if it wasn't her time. But she wasn't in the right state of mind, so I blurted out, yes, do whatever you have to. It felt selfish. I mean, I know I would miss her, but she would be in a better place. As for me, if this body that I've been given starts to fail, and God wants me, God is ready for me, who am I to say no? I want to be with Jesus. Not one of us will escape death. We are all going to die. One of the other comments the speaker made is, when you're born, you look like your parents. But when you die, you look like your choices. I'm probably going to look like a pizza. So I choose pizza. I shouldn't say that we will all die. There is something in the Bible that says not all will experience death. It's a topic I've been discussing with a coworker about for a year now. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The rapture. Now, my friend has been talking about this for a good year. And it seems every month or so, we're going to go now. No, and then that time would pass, and we're going to go now. And then that time would pass. Now, he listens to a lot of podcasts, and they've been saying all these signs that they've been seeing, and, you know, they're saying, well, this date. So the next one is April 8th. when we have the solar eclipse, when the sun is blackened. So this is the next date that I've been told. But every time he tells me, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 36 to 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus is coming back soon. Our time is short. How are we spending our time? May I suggest that we don't spend our time in vain. Understand that the enemy uses a sneaky time. He has us waste our time and makes us think that we have plenty of time. Understand that time is limited. No amount of money ever bought a second of time. Are we investing our time wisely? We tend to make time for things that are important to us. What's important to you? Have you thought about it? What drives you? James 4, verse 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Romans 11 to 14. Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Our time on earth is short compared to what we get to experience with God. Should we spend our time worrying about someone who wronged us? Or should we spend our time doing God's will? There are many people out there that need Jesus. Are you grateful that someone came and shared Jesus with you and brought you to the place that you are right now? Continue to reach out to others. And no matter how they respond, just show your love, encourage, lift up. Not everybody will receive the word like we did, but in time they will. In your time, when you're ready for them. Lord, I thank you for all who are gathered here today. And I pray that you're with each and every one of them to help them through their struggles, to help them manage their time. And we look forward to the day that we get to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.